Good morning. Thank you for those thoughts, Andy, and for that prayer. It's a challenge to me, your question on what are we seeking? Thank you for that. Those songs as well, the song selections and that singing. I've been inspired and encouraged this morning by them. And it's been a blessing to be able to gather with you again this morning. It's hard to believe that we're towards the end of another year, 2025. When we look back, it just seems like a blur. Recently we've been it's that time of year that most of the world celebrates it. I've been reading through the birth of Jesus, and I was just encouraged by the good news that the angels brought us there. I just read it here in Luke 2:8. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there was you can just imagine the heavenly host that was there praising God for the Son, the plan that He had. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The good tidings in Luke 10 is the good news. I just want to encourage you that the good news is still as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. It's still bringing great joy to the hearts and lives. Jesus, the incarnate God, was born of a virgin as a helpless babe, grew up in subjection to his parents, performed many miracles and wonders, gave his life as a ransom for many, was tortured and crucified for our sins, and died and arose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. He will live forevermore at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. There is no salvation in any other name. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where must we be saved. I just share that as an encouragement. It's not my topic. I would like to continue to go through Ecclesiastes. I think we're going to go to chapter 5 and read through that and see if we can make some application, what the Lord is saying to us in 2025. So let's read it here. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hand? For in the multitude of dreams and in many words, there also divers vanities. Let me reread that. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. As I looked at it, I felt like verse 1 to 7 kind of go together. Consider what the writer is saying here. Let us guard our steps and focus on who we are coming before, as it is the great Creator, God, the all-knowing, all-seeing, holy, righteous God. We only have access to Him through the blood of His dear Son and His righteousness. Our prayer, as we go to prayer and seek communion with God, we should be sought in all seriousness, reverently and with awe-filled respect. Listen for God's voice and direction. It won't be made with the multitude of words and much speaking. Don't make promises you can't uphold, but quietly and reverently seek to make that personal connection with Him. He wants to commune with you as He did with Moses. I have Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And also, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Kind of look at verse 8 a little by itself. If thou seest oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice and a providence, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth it, and there be higher than they. If we see the oppression of the poor, there could be corruption in the higher authorities. There could be many different things as we think of that. But I had to think that ultimately God knows and will bring judgment upon those. So I felt like 9 to 20 kind of went together on talking about riches. And moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased to eat them, and what good is there to the owner thereof? Seeing the beholding of them with their eye. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept by the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall not take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this is also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness. He hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun, all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. All of us, when we work or labor, have a job, we do pay taxes, and the money goes to people in higher positions, possibly in our case to the president, to the people in government, but it benefits more people than just ourselves. It is good to work and to provide and to have to give. It brings a sense of satisfaction. There's rest there in working and laboring with your hand. At the end of the day, when you're done, it's a blessing to be able to get a good night's sleep. But if we're pursuing riches and the love of money, we will be miserable and empty. There's no fulfillment. There's no sweet rest. They keep their riches to their own misery and hurt. We think of the author who wrote this, Solomon. He was extremely wealthy, but in the end, he couldn't find contentment. He couldn't find that sweet rest. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money or its gain. What profit has he that hath labored for the wind? It will vanish away as the wind does. Verse 15 says, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. The only thing that we can take with us is the souls that we have influenced and won. But I have, in light of that, I'd like to read Luke 12, 15 to 20. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought in himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on it. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful. Be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's just, I think, it's a good perspective on what we just read there in Ecclesiastes. If we have a good perspective on who or what we're laboring for, and if we can do it with a kingdom-minded perspective, I think God can bless that. In closing, I have 1 Timothy 6:17-19. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Amen. Thank you for listening.